Hello and welcome to episode 76 of Australian Jams, a little podcast about new Australian music. I am Gemma Bastiani and we're back properly on a schedule for 2021. Thank you everyone who returned after 6 months of nothing. I very much appreciate it. Today, I'm continuing along the rounds of having past guests slash friends on the podcast to kind of get us back into that groove. So I'm excited to welcome Mix Everett onto the podcast. Hello.
Hey, Gemma.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, good. How are you? Well, welcome back, by the way. It's been so good to to have Oz Jams back in our podcast feeds.
Thank you. I don't know. I was meant to be back in May or April, one of those months. And then I decided to wait a little bit longer. But we're here now, so it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. No, it's the best Oz music podcast out there. So, you know.
That's a very big call.
I always am put onto music that I wouldn't have listened to otherwise. And that's like the best recipe, I reckon, for a music pod. So
that's nice to know, because sometimes I feel like I'm not choosing things that are new to people, and I'm just choosing the same things that everyone else is talking about. So that's good to know. So for those who haven't heard previous episodes with you, Mix, or haven't come across you before, can you tell us quickly who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I have been involved in music for a while. I've sort of been sitting far more on the periphery this year in particular, I guess, and really since the pandemic, that kind of threw a big spanner in the works, as we know. But yeah, I used to run an old music site years ago, about 10 years ago, which is a long time ago. Me and all my friends is what it was called. And I hosted a music podcast called Australian Music Diaries. I just completely forgot the name. It's been a while since we've done that show. And Gemma, you and I did a show on your old radio station called Not Local, and then we did a version of Australian Jams last year called International Marmalade. I've been involved in music, and then both in a writing and listening and in a vaguely PR sense for a while. And I've also been involved in a research context as well. So I graduated with a PhD a few years ago.
I should have introduced you as Dr. Yes, Mix Everett. I'm sorry. Yes. Apologies.
Look, let's edit here and let's start it again. No. but yeah, my PhD looked at working with young musicians around Australia who had experiences of vulnerability and how they use that vulnerability as part of the practice. Yeah. So whole heap of different involvements in music, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. I think we all know that feeling. I think every time you ask someone that's not just a musician to explain what they do, there's 600 things to list. I got asked, I had to get a COVID test a few weeks ago, and they ask what your occupation is. And I just fully panic whenever that question gets asked of me, because I don't know what the answer is right now. What's the answer? Anyway, you say freelancer and then they're like, in what? It's like, oh, fuck.
You just say you're a writer.
Yeah.
You are.
But I want to sound cool as well, Mix. No, I'm kidding. I could just say I'm a teacher.
Yeah, you're an educator.
Be inaccurate. Educator. Wouldn't be inaccurate. Wouldn't be wholly accurate though either. Anyway, so as usual, we've each chosen three recently released Australian songs to chat about, and how about you kick us off with one of your choices?
Yeah, let's kick things off with this one from Armlock. It's called April. Armlock is the project of Simon Lamb and Hamish. Oh my gosh, I've completely blanked on Hamish's last name. How did I? I should be more prepared. But Hamish,
that's okay.
But both were in Isles a little while ago. This sort of sort of doesn't really sound like Isles.
Not at all.
Yeah. It sounds like a mix between Simon's solo work as Nearly Oratorio, which was maybe, I don't know, in the last few years. I remember talking about some of his stuff on Aussie Music Diaries way back when. But there's that beautiful mix between live and clearly synthetic kind of produced sound in this song, which I just think is absolutely beautiful. It's from an EP which came out last week at the time of this being released. It would have been just last week, called Trust. It's such a finessed production. It feels super scrappy though, but then still gets this really super intimate feel. The way Simon's vocals are recorded, especially at the top, just feels so like right in your face. Sorry, I probably shouldn't cover my mouth, but you know, literally that close to your face.
That's the feeling. Like when I first listened to it, because I hadn't heard this before you sent it through, I was doing my prep for this episode before class teaching the other day. And that means I'm sitting in a classroom when it's still not super light outside on my own in a building with motion sensor lights. So I've been sitting in that classroom for a bit, so it's dark everywhere but in my classroom. It's dark outside. It's not super dark outside, but you get the feeling, and I'm on my own. And then this came on in the queue because I'd queued all the songs back to back. And it kind of like shocked me a bit because it felt like there was someone sitting over my shoulder talking. And it freaked me out to begin with because it is that close, hey?
Yeah, and Simon's got such a earnest kind of, for want of a better term, emo kind of voice that does draw you in and does immediately pull you in. And then when it's recorded in such an intimate, close kind of way, just adds this extra, intimacy to it, which I just, it's so beautiful.
The other great thing about this song is the way it does develop kind of layer by layer, and you build into the song. And I know that that's kind of a tried and trusted technique, but it's still so effective when it's been done well. And that's what happens in this song.
Yeah. It reminds me a lot of Jack Grace. And apparently Hamish from Umlock has worked on a lot of stuff from Jack Grace. And then I was looking at the credits for this song on Spotify, and apparently Jack Grace has had a hand in this song as well. So, you know, it's all one big little family. And it's so nice to see those little reference points throughout this song. And I just want to, before we hear it, can I just talk about how great the drums are? How live, but clearly very, very structured and cut up the drums sound. Like has that strong kind of breakbeat underneath it. It's just what adds so much to this song. I just love it. It's such a great song.
Well, should we listen to a little bit of it then?
Let's do it.
This is a bit of Armlock with April, and we'll be back in a moment. Found a way to be a part of the story that you told. Be a murderer. A BoJack Horseman reference just then. Before I said that, you just heard a bit of April by Armlock, which was Mick's first song for this episode. My first one is called Bittersweet, and it's by Camouflage Rose. I first came across them when I did an episode of Oz Jams with Michelle Grace Hunder a long time ago now. Like, this was when I was living at my old house with my really, really awful recording setup. So this is like early days Australian jams. Yeah. And she brought this song in And I think she also brought a Rule remix in and something else. I can't remember what the third song was, but it was like totally out of my wheelhouse. So I kind of learned a lot in that conversation with her. And I've kind of kept a bit of an eye on Camouflage Rose since then, because I enjoyed the conversation with Michelle. And this one came out the day I was choosing my songs. So yesterday, based on recording, because I leave everything to the last minute nowadays. I just think the production in this is very, very cool. And I really like the way the production holds up the feel changes throughout the song. And then, because it's got this real cool vibe about it. And then the visuals, I think, just kind of top it off. And I really love it as a package. And there's some lines in the song that I feel like other artists couldn't get away with, because it'd be like, you roll your eyes, like, oh, that's a lame line. But in this song, it seems cool still. Like, this is just a cool song, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems a theme in everything we've done, and I know it's a theme in last episode, in the first episode you did with Sos. This was not
I know what's coming.
My favorite of the songs you sent through. Mind you, the more I listen to it, the more I get into it, the more I appreciate it. That arpeggiated kind of synth line that's sort of repeated almost for the whole song, and how the whole song kind of hangs around that arpeggiated synth and does different things against that. It's such a, I mean, obviously that's a technique that's been used for years and years and years in popular music, but when it's done well, you obviously always kind of take notice of it. And this whole thing of, in, I was speaking about this with Elle, my partner, last night. We were talking about creative work, because she's studying fine art. And we were talking about this idea of creating constraints on yourself, so that you have to work within those constraints and see how you can push those lines and push those boundaries within that tight kind of time frame, or tight kind of confine, sorry. And I think this is what Camouflage Rose, is doing here really, really beautifully. The style of music, not my thing as much, but I appreciate the kind of the art form of it is so obvious. Yeah, it's good in that sense for me.
Well, no, this is the thing. Like, you can appreciate music without being a fan of the style of music. Like, how often have you brought something in where I've said, I think the lyrics are incredible, but I wouldn't listen to this song regularly. Like, you don't have to like all music, but if you can be open-minded enough to appreciate when something is good, even if it doesn't cater to you. And this is funny that we're having this conversation, because as someone who works in women's sport and being a woman who talks about sport online, there are a lot of people who think just because they don't like something, it shouldn't exist, no matter what good it's doing for other demographics of the population. I woke up this morning to lots of negativity from men online, and it's just like, if you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to talk negatively about it. You can just go about your life and do the things you like. And I think that's something that the local music scene has changed dramatically with since I started doing music stuff. Because when I started doing music stuff, people would shit on you or shit on someone's music just because they didn't like it. Not because it wasn't good, but because it didn't fit what they liked and wanted to be involved in. Whereas now I think it's very much more appreciative. And I don't know whether it's like the whole pressure cooker environment and what's happened over the last 18 months and how everyone just kind of has to hang in with one another and stuff like that, or whether it's just a maturity that's come across that industry or anything like that. But I think people are far less critical within the local scene than when I first started. And I think what you've just said is a really good example of that. Is it's not my taste, but I can appreciate these specific things about it.
That's a really good observation. I hadn't thought about that until you just said it, this idea that we're far more just, at least within our small little Aussie music sector, far less invested in just shitting on something for the sake of shitting on it, or hating something for the sake of hating it. And it's like, oh yeah, like, it's hard being a musician. It's hard making music, full stop. Like, if somebody wants to make this kind of music, go for it.
Yeah, it's not hurting, as long as it's not hurting anyone, go for it.
Yeah,
I think it comes with maturity as well, though. Hey, like, we are now...
That's true.
Older.
Yes, older.
Which would have something to do with it as well. And, yeah, but I it is an observation, and it does make... it does make the want to look for new music and be invested in new music and support artists much easier, because you don't feel so much negativity around it anymore, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, Camouflage Rose. yeah, I just think that it's a very cool song. I think that it's been put together in a way that the whole package has been thought of right from the start. Mm-hmm. And that comes through for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, even in a genre that I typically wouldn't choose as well.
Mm.
I just wanted to mix it up today. Yeah. So let's hear a bit of Bittersweet by Camouflage Rose, and we'll be back. Trying to make sense of everything, and now I'm feeling, taking every word and understand just what you mean. Am I sick of love or love sick? Addicted to your poison. It's bittersweet. You're killing me. It's killing me. You just heard some of Bittersweet by Camouflage Rose. Mix, what is your second song choice for today?
I wanted to chat about a singer-songwriter by the name of Maple Glider.
Who used to be known as, do you know?
No.
Severa.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yes.
Oh, and wow.
One of Severa's songs... I can't remember which year, 2017 or 2018, made it onto the Australian Jams end of year episode of like best music of the year. That song was incredible. Truly can't remember the name of it right at this moment, but that's the vocalist from Severa.
Yeah, right. That makes so much sense, actually, especially in hearing the voice. Yeah. There's a song, well, the song we're going to play is called Baby Tiger, and it's taken off their debut full-length album, which came out, well, yesterday at time of recording, but last week, you know.
We're recording on Saturday before the episode comes out, just so people know.
We keep on making reference to yesterday. There's just, oh my gosh, I can't get over this song. I can't get over this record. I can't get over anything that Maple Glider has put out. Or Tori Zeech is their real name. I remember hearing a song called Swimming, I think it was, last year. And was super taken aback by it. Speaking of intimacy, we spoke about intimacy with Armlock before, but... My gosh, I mean, you know, talk about vulnerability and intimacy. Like, Maple Glider, this whole record just has it in droves. I just can't get over it. It's so beautiful.
So, I have a single note for this.
Mm.
I should clarify. I'm a big fan of Maple Glider because of... how much of a fan I was of Severa. The song was called Make Me Uncomfortable, which I've just remembered now. Big fan, Gemma. Only just remembered the name of the song. This is exactly the song, kind of song I expected you to choose based on our previous recordings.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know, Mix, and I don't say this with any sort of ill intent.
Okay.
Mix does like the emotion in songs. He does like accessing those emotions. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not like that. But This is the kind of song to expect when you suggest something. So if people are looking for that sort of stuff, Mix is a great person to go to. And you're laughing like I'm being, I don't know, obnoxious or something. But no, it's the truth. And it's not a bad thing at all.
Oh, no.
But this is fully the song I expected you to choose.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I mean, so she's recorded it with Tom Jancek from Big Scary, and it's been released through Pieta, their label. And like, I definitely hear that approach to recording and that approach to music making in this song and in the record. I've got to listen to it properly over the next few days. But yeah, that, I mean, that reference point of having Tom on there, and I think he's providing some BVs later on in the song as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be the case.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's stunning. But yeah, it's another like super intimate song as well. It's you're kind of being taken inside this person's head and like some of their most intimate emotions as well, right?
Yeah. I heard an interview with her on Zanro's show on Double J last week. Yep. I think it's been the feature record on Double J, which is pretty incredible. And I think this whole record is kind of a breakup record or a pining a lost relationship kind of record. And that obviously goes hand in hand with how the music making process has been approached in terms of how intimate and vulnerable it is. At times it feels super, almost just uncomfortably vulnerable, which I love in music. Like, I love when somebody wants to completely divulge and self-disclose so much, because that's the form to do it in. Like, it's so much... In some respects, it's so much easier. Which, you know, what... Music, hey? What a beautiful thing.
this is slightly off topic, but someone was... I don't know if you mind me saying, but you're engaged and planning a wedding, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, I was talking to someone the other day about their wedding, and the idea, standing up in front of everyone you care about and being... like personal and talking about feelings is the most horrifying thought to me. So that's why the idea of writing a song like this and releasing it and then going and talking to people about writing and releasing this kind of song is terrifying. That is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're having a registry wedding and then we're also just having a delayed reception party like a few weeks later. And we're purposefully not doing any speeches or anything like that. So I'm kind of in a similar boat to you there. Like, that terrifies me. I was scared proposing. Like, I was rattling when I proposed. So, I wouldn't dare say some of that sort of intimate, close kind of stuff to everybody. That's not my style.
Telling people your emotions? Who does that? Okay, maybe I'm coming across as the troubled one here. Anyway, Maple Glider does a beautiful job of conveying those things absolutely through both the way the lyrics are written and also the way that it's then portrayed via the production values and things like that. So it's a really good balance between the two. And there are a few artists, especially Melbourne at the moment, who do those things really beautifully, and Maple Glider is absolutely one of them. Let's listen to a little bit of Baby Tiger by Maple Glider and we'll come back.
Let's do it.
Some of Baby Tiger by Maple Glider off their new record out now. Go and check it out. My second choice for today This one's a bit of a throwback, kind of in the Camouflage Rose ones I kind of talked about early Australian Jams days with the interview with Michelle. This one from Holy Holy kind of takes me back to those times as well. Holy Holy had just kind of released their first record around that time and very much a band that I was listening to a lot. So when they released a single just in time for this episode, I was very excited to do a bit of a themed run of songs today. So Holy Holy released a new song called Believe Anything. The thing that Holy Holy do well, and that I've mentioned on the podcast before, is that they evolve in a way that keeps you hooked if you're an early fan, because there are a lot of those early elements that are still very, very present. But they change just enough to make it new. So every evolution, you probably listen to this song and then listen to their first EP and they sound almost nothing alike. But they kind of take you on the journey in a way that you don't fall off the train, I guess, as it's going along. And you compare that kind of thing to other artists that have evolved fairly dramatically over their time. I don't know that other artists do it as well. They don't link it as well between records, changes and the things that remain the same. So this one, the thing that is really apparently different is the treatment on the vocal. I think the vocal sounds very, very different to what we've heard before from Holy Holy, and that is an element that keeps it fresh, keeps it new, but you still have the really strong songwriting. The bass line in this is kind of incredible. And it's just it's a really good kind of rock almost song. I don't know how to classify Holy Holy. But yeah, I just really adore them as a band because I think they're so intelligent. They're so unbothered by what else is going on. They just do their own thing and it's always exceptional. Imagine being that good at something, Mix.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine all the time because I never am as good as reinventing themselves as Holy Holy seem to be.
That wasn't the intention of that comment.
No, I know.
But, yes.
No, I know. I was just trying to link it. Didn't do it very well. Anyway, so I've never gotten into Holy Holy. I know, it's sacrilege.
So Mix didn't like any of the songs I chose this
no,
week.
No, this one I genuinely think is quite brilliant. And the last one you're going to choose as well, but that's a no-brainer. There's something kind of cult-like about Holy Holy to me. I don't know why, but it's not necessarily...
Is it
because
they're called Holy Holy?
Well, maybe. I hadn't even drawn that link. but it's, I think it's in their fandom. Like there's, because they're not necessarily the biggest band out there, but when people talk of them, they're like, oh my gosh, Holy Holy. Like it's a fandom / stand-em almost. It feels to me.
Well,
and
I think
just makes me a bit reluctant.
Yeah, I get that. But I think it's because of who's in the band. So every member of that band has had a long history in Australian music before Holy Holy existed. They're all kind of the, other than the Tim and Oscar, the main two, the rest of the band are kind of the best session musos in Australia. They're the people that everyone wants drumming on their tour or playing bass on their tour, that sort of stuff. So they're known as incredible instrumentalists already. Mm. So they've got that aura about them inside circles. So I think that's why people talk about them like that, because they are revered because of their reputations. And Oscar also does heaps of great production. He's done a bunch for Alex Leahy. He's done a bunch for, obviously, Ali Barter, who's his wife. There's like all these artists that people love on inside the industry for sure, they've worked with. So because they know so many people, people have so much respect for them, and then therefore when they all came together, it was like, oh, this is a super group almost.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I when you sent this through, I thought, oh yeah, I know that Gemma's a big fan of Holly Holly. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be good. I listened, and the more I listened, the more I got into it, and the more I noticed a few things. So the first is that opening synth line. For the life of me, I thought, shit, what does this remind me of? It sounds so similar to another song that I've loved, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. Last night when I was doing some last minute prep, no, yesterday morning, sorry, when I was doing some last minute prep for the show.
Sorry to interrupt, but yeah. I love that your last minute prep was yesterday morning. My prep at all was yesterday morning.
I mean, I did listen again this morning frantically whilst cooking breakfast. So, you know, but I was listening. I thought, it's going to do my head in and I'm going to sound like such an idiot if I don't actually know the reference when we record. So I played it to Elle and she said, oh yeah, it sounds like Girls on TV by, is it Girls on the TV by Laura Jean? It's exactly the same kind of sound and almost the same synth line. And I listened to that and I thought, no, it's not. But then I heard that synth line. I thought, oh yeah, shit, it totally is. And it's like a little bit. It's not a big feature in the Laura Jean song. But that was one of my absolute favorite songs from a few years ago. Yeah. And that's the first kind of calling card, which drew me in because I love that Laura Jean song so much. This song builds, as you say, it almost, you said that across their career, they kind of almost each iteration sort of reinvents what they're doing. I feel as though almost in the space of this song, they're not reinventing, but they're continuously evolving and building on this nugget of an idea, which just is such a beautiful way of constructing a song. Almost just starting and seeing what happens. Which I just love. And like final reference point for me is it sounds a lot like you mentioned before that it seems as though they don't really care what's popular at the moment. They're just doing what they want to do. I feel as though they're doing what they want to do and kind of time traveling back 10 years ago to like Yeasayer era. There's almost a bit of Yeasayer. I was going to say Grizzly Bear, but not really Grizzly Bear, but some like MGMT almost as well. And that's a bit more than 10 years ago. Oddblood, Yeasayer, that Oddblood record by Yeasayer. I just hear that a lot in this song in particular. And again, one of my favorite records of all time. So
have you converted?
Oh yeah, I've converted to this song. To this song, definitely. And I'll give...
To the cult of Holly Holly?
Well, maybe. Maybe. I won't be a big stan, I don't think. But is this off a new record or?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, and
they've been trying to tour for about a year now and it keeps, you know, getting postponed.
Sounds familiar.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn. Should we hear some though?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. This is a bit of Believe Anything. The cult thing is going through. Believe as well is in the song title. This is a bit of Believe Anything by Holly Holly. That was Believe Anything by Holly Holly. Mix is up to his final song choice for today.
I am. Snowy Halliwell, or Liam Halliwell, but Snowy, that's sort of how he's better known. He's been in bands for ages. Like, obviously, people would definitely know him from The Ocean Party, a great kind of collective of incredible musicians who sadly were kind of... kind of had to call it quits a few years ago after Zach passed away, the drummer slash songwriter slash... What I love... I mean, Zach was a beautiful musician and had a great band himself, Siggy Witch, who I just thought were just the greatest slacker kind of throw shit at the wall, just see what sticks kind of feel, which I just love. Anyway, what I love about anything that Liam and Lachlan Denton, Zach's brother, and all of the folk in that band do is they're so prolific. And they do everything. Like, Snowy was well known as a great sax player for a while there. Clearly is a great songwriter, great guitarist. And then, like, you see the work Lachlan's done. He's done duet work with Emma Russick, who's also in this band, Snowy Band. He drums on a heap of stuff. He sings on a heap of stuff. Like, I just love this big collective approach that sort of surrounds Snowy, really, and the work that he does. So Snowy Band is the name of this band. The song we're going to hear is called Living With Myself. And it's off a record called Alternate Endings, which is out in August.
Yep.
Second record, they released their first record last year. Somewhat, again, you know, of course, they're going to release a few records in a short space of time. It's like Ocean Party, I think, at one point released 3 records in a year. They're no King Gizz in terms of prolificacy, but I think that's the word. I had to actually look up whether, is it prolificacy or is it prolificacy? Anyway, it's prolificacy.
I think it's the former.
I think it's the latter. Well, from what I,
the
from my Googling.
The former sounds more right, though.
Yeah,
it should change to that if that's the case.
Anyway, look, you know, people tune in for the English language discussion. And
well,
the,
we're both teachers, so...
let's not promote that too much if we don't know basic words. Well, that's not basic. Anyway, Snowy, love it. This is a great song. The chorus always makes me want to sing I'm Living in the 70s by Skyhooks, a real throwback. I don't know why. I mean, because I'm living is the beginning of the chorus line. There is such a throw shit at the wall, see what sticks kind of approach to anything that Snowy does. But you know that behind the scenes, it's so purposeful and so controlled and so tight. But the effect of it is like, yeah, sure, yeah, this'll do. This works. And of course it works, because, you know, we're talking about it today. And I love anything that Snowy does. But, yeah, it's just a beautiful song and I love it.
I thought this song was just really quite sweet. Mm. Which, again, going back to the descriptor of how I was listening to all the songs back to back, in stark comparison to the fear I got listening to the very start of the Armlock song, this one was just really comfortable to listen to. It makes you... like at ease, I guess, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Music can do all sorts of things to how you feel. It can terrify you without even intending to, or it can do all sorts of things. But this one made me relax a lot, which is really nice. And I don't think that that's a bad thing about music either.
No. Yeah.
It doesn't have to make you feel tense or any sort of like... extreme emotion. It can just calm you down, which is real nice too.
Yeah. I must say, when I sent you through my songs, I was thinking, what might be the one that that Gemma isn't that much of a fan of? And I thought it might have been this one, because I thought you might have been just too comfortable and too kind of just pleasing on the ear. Not that you don't.
I've
like
mellowed in my old age mix.
Well, yes, I am older, so maybe that's it. in my old age. Yeah.
But, I mean, you're not that old.
Well, thank you. the other thing I did want to mention about this song was not actually about the song, was about the clip.
Yeah.
If you, dear listener, like if you have the time, and you should, I hope, just jump onto YouTube and have a look at this clip. It is one of the best clips. It's a take on just a band playing a song live, but it's moving between like a 3D and 2D kind of cardboard cutout thing. It's quite incredible and kind of gives this this beautiful bed and this beautiful life to this song. I really, really enjoy it. Go. Yeah.
You heard it here first. Should we hear the song then?
Let's do it. And then jump onto YouTube and have a look at the clip. Yeah.
After you finish listening to the podcast.
Yes, sorry. Yes, after the episode. Anyway.
This is called Living With Myself. It's by Snowy Ben. Try. That was Living With Myself by Snowy Band. That was Mick's final song for us today. I should flag as well, amongst all of our nostalgia of early Australian Jams days, I'm back in the squeaky chair, everyone. The squeaky chair hasn't made an appearance for a number of years, and it's back today. So there you go. I should flag that was unintentional. I was just sitting in a more comfortable chair. And yeah, this is where we're at. Anyway, my final song is by someone who's been on the podcast twice, and I absolutely adore her. I think she's just such a remarkable person. My interview with her, or episode interview with her more recently, was one of the favorite episodes I've ever done, because she just was so open, willing to talk about the hard things about songwriting. And we talked earlier about vulnerability in songwriting. She kind of really went into depth about trying to find the balance between how much of yourself to give up. And that's something, as someone who isn't a songwriter, I've never really had to consider. I highly recommend going and listening back to my recent episode with Eilish Gilligan, I will link that in the show notes. After that episode came out, Mix actually messaged me, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I remember this. Yeah. It was... I mean, Eilish is such an interesting person to hear talk about their practice, but also such a engaging, interesting, great, cool person anyway.
Yeah.
And there is something that happens in some interviews that you've done, Gemma, where... it just feels like you're learning something almost brand new, because the person that you're interviewing is revealing something that feels new in that moment. And that's testament to you and the space that you provide through your interviewing skills, but also just the space. But yeah, hearing Eilish share about her experience and share, you know, kind of what goes into that process of music making was brilliant. And yeah, I definitely did text you later on, because it was so good.
It was thank a great you interview. Yeah, I'm very, very proud of that episode, and that's a testament to Eilish and the way she speaks, and how just remarkable is the word I used earlier, but that is the word I use to describe Eilish, because I think she is a remarkable person, both as a person and in terms of her music. And yesterday she released this song, yesterday being Friday, you're obviously listening to this on Wednesday, so it wasn't yesterday to you. Released a new song called Get Well Soon. The first indication of this song that I saw was the day prior on Twitter, she shared a new photo by Jeff Anderson Jr. And the photo is unbelievable. Just we all know that I am completely obsessed with visuals that come along with stuff. We know that Eilish has such a great track record of incredible visuals. I talked about that with her on that episode that we just discussed. This photo is one of the all-time artist press shots, honestly. And I know that it sounds like I'm talking it up a lot, but please go to Eilish's Twitter account and have a look at it. I've reshared it on the Australian Jams Twitter account as well. Go and have a look at it, because it's just amazing. And that was the first indication of this song. Because I've been fully in footy world, so I haven't been as closely monitoring, you know, artist announcements and things like that. So for me, this being the introduction to her releasing new music was just like the most perfect way. And then the song comes out and it's beautiful. Eilish released an EP last year that was more acoustic, and that was around the time of that episode, that interview I did with her, which was a bit of a shift for her at the time. But there was always a plan to go back to what we kind of knew her for, which is more of a pop electronic production.
Yeah.
And she's become such a talented producer over the... I think COVID has... As much as it's been horrible and awful, and I know that she's suffered quite a lot through it, it's done wonders to her production skills because she's challenged herself using Twitch as well. So doing live productions with people watching her on a stream. And that absolutely comes through in this song. There are parts of this song in the chorus that are like flutters of like video game style, 8-bit music that comes through, which is really juxtaposing with the really smooth kind of highly produced other production of it. It's just got such a beautiful balance to the song. And then, as we all know, her vocals are incredible and the way they sit over the top is just completely beautiful. And I'm fully on board with this song.
Yeah, no, it's same. I mean, you know, I think we're big Eilish fans around these parts. Yes. I read about this song, I think on Purple Sneakers maybe, and they were saying that this is like an upbeat song for Eilish Gilligan. And I thought, like, I never think of Eilish's work as upbeat or positive. And it didn't ring true. But upbeat and
positive are two different things, aren't they?
Well, yes, true. All right.
In upbeat. Music terms.
Yes. Yeah. This to me still has that really beautiful kind of forlorn kind of feel that Eilish does so well, and there always tends to couple with this almost euphoric kind of production that is, as you say, just slightly underplayed or slightly weird. There's always a slight weirdness to the production which adds that interest, you know, draws you in. I listened quite loud on a decent pair of headphones yesterday morning prepping for this, and in that chorus there's a very distant kind of decay and echo to it, which I don't hear in a lot of other pop music. And that the vocal synth line thing that follows her actual vocal line in the chorus. Like, what a touch. Instead of just having a synth line, or instead of just having a straight kind of clean vocal, to modulate it through this synth it's just that extra step that Eilish always seems to take in her music, which just makes it better than playing it safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other part is that she's got the chops to back up all those ideas.
Yeah.
So she's, as I said, developed her production skills, but we've always known that her voice is just unbelievable. She works so hard at making sure both are the best that they can be.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have the idea, and this is again, talking about sport, but this is something that always comes up when, you know, commentating a game, is that, you know, you might have the idea to hit that kick into the corridor, but if you don't have the skills to execute it, you can't, like, you might have a good idea, but you can't execute it. That's the same with music. You might have a great idea, but if you can't execute it properly, it doesn't work. And that's the thing that Eilish has found, is that she's worked so hard to get her skills up to the level where she can execute all these incredible ideas that she has. And I just think, again, remarkable is the word.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And that's actually a really good analogy. Dare I say, dare...
My football analogy has worked finally.
But knowing that something's going to be brilliant, but then also having the skills to back it up is Eilish to a T. Clearly she has one of the best kind of creative minds out there, but like, I'm sure heaps of people do or feel as though they do, but they can't actually do anything with it because they don't have the chops. But Eilish,
exactly,
you know, meets that creative thinking mind with the actual chops to back it all up, which is, brilliant.
Yeah. And it's important to note that these aren't skills that just exist in a person. They're skills that come off the back of, working really hard. And I'm a big advocate for people who work really hard.
Yeah.
And Eilish is one of those people. And we saw that last year during COVID, and obviously still now during some of the lockdowns, is that, you know, she's turned to Twitch and she's kind of cultivated a community and worked on the skills that she wanted to develop. And I just am in awe of that. And that she's not the only one that's done that. I think Aoife is another really good example, who's another incredible producer and vocalist. Michelle Grace Hunter, who we mentioned earlier, she did a similar thing during COVID. Like, these people who just want to be better, want to do the thing that they're doing so badly that they work so incredibly hard at it. And I really admire that. So more power to them. But this song by Eilish is just the best. It's called Get Well Soon, and we'll come back to kind of chat in the outro once we get back.
Give every year of looking young to you, if you'd agree to take it.
Was a bit of Eilish Gilligan's new single called Get Well Soon. We're done for songs for the day, Mix.
We are.
What the heck?
Yeah, what the heck? Thanks for...
Well, I mean, I say that, but we've been recording for nearly an hour, which is quite long for an Australian Jams episode, so what the heck?
I take a while to explain things as I've noticed throughout this episode.
No, I think I also, in our little breaks where I'm inserting the songs, I also go off on tangents and was just telling you about how I made my hand bleed while we were talking. So that's fun for us all. Mix, what have you got? Do you have anything you'd like to promote? Where can people find you if they want to follow you? All that jazz.
You can go to mixeverett.com. That's my website.
Yes.
With all of the audio stuff I've been doing recently is all up there. And gosh, if you're running a research project and want me to get involved, I'm sure all the listeners to Oz Jams are in that boat. No. But
you never know who's listening.
Yeah, look, that's true. That's true. But yeah, you can find me at Mix Everett on Instagram and Twitter. That's the best place to get in contact with me. I've put Mixtape, the playlist I had, and it used to be a podcast for a brief time, but I've put the playlist on hold for a bit. But I am getting to the point where I'm going to bring it back. Probably going to be a bumper 100 song playlist or something in the next few days, I think. I've got the time to do it now. So yeah, that's sort of my news. A playlist.
That's still cool. There's still stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you? What's happening for you, Gemma?
What's happening for me? Look, I've been telling all my friends. I've told three people, how excited I am that I got a new computer, a new monitor, and I can have two spreadsheets side by side now on my new monitor, which I'm very excited about. So I'll be doing lots of stuff on that. I live a very fun life, in case anyone was wondering. What else am I doing? I will be doing more football stuff, obviously. AFLW draft is happening on the 27th of July, so preparing for that, which is a month away tomorrow when we're recording. Also, Siren, Women in Sport Collective, we've got a few really fun and just really exciting announcements coming in the next couple of months. So we're starting to really make some waves, which is what we've been trying to do, and in the world of women's sport, but also more broadly in terms of the promotion of women in sport, which is really fun. We're currently running our emerging sports writer program in partnership with Football Victoria, which is incredible because it means we get to help emerging diverse voices work out how to do the most basic things that you just don't get taught unless you're actually, you have a mentor or anything like that. Even uni doesn't teach you a lot of these things. So
yeah.
I was, all of us at Siren were lucky enough to have mentors that helped us. So we kind of fumbled our way through things until we found one another and launched this collective and things like that. Whereas we want to be able to pass that on to more emerging diverse voices, and we're very lucky to have the partnership of Football Victoria to do that with three participants this time around, which is really cool. So we'll be doing a lot more of that throughout the rest of the year with some other partnerships, which is fun. So I'm getting a lot out of seeing the enthusiasm and the motivation of people who are just starting to enter these worlds, because at times, and music and sport are very similar in terms of being a woman in those spaces or a diverse person in those spaces, and feeling quite, you can feel quite beaten down at times, and working with these younger people, and they're not necessarily always younger, they're emerging, so they're new to the game, I guess I should say, and working with them and seeing their motivation and their enthusiasm and their kind of sky-high hopes for what they can become has kind of re-energized me in the same respect, which is really cool because, you know, sometimes it gets a lot. And last week, it got a lot for me last week because people are jerks. Like, it's as simple as that. But the idea that these dreams can still exist and that I had those dreams and why can't I continue to go for them has been really positive for me as well as for those writers. So that's really fun. So if you're into sport, women's sport in particular, go and check out Siren. I know that this is a music podcast, but that's where I'm at. That's kind of, I think that's all I do and teach. I teach, obviously.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. I don't know why I kind of just looked at you like you were going to host the rest of the show just then.
It's your show now.
It's my show. But yes, you can find Australian Jams on Twitter and Instagram at Australian Jams. Follow us there. If you're interested in footy, follow me on Twitter at JL Bastiani. Mix has mentioned he's at Mix Everett on both Instagram and Twitter, and I will link all of those in the show notes below, as well as Mix's website if you're interested in checking out his other audio projects. Thank you so much for joining, Mix.
Thanks for having me, Gemma. Ooh, I just tipped the table. A great way to win the show.
Just wobbled a little bit.
Yeah.
And I will have someone else in 2 weeks' time to chat with. I don't know who it is yet, but we will find out. We'll all find out together. In the meantime, please go and support local artists. They need you now more than ever. If you do have the funds to support, buying merch is a really great way to do that at the moment. If you don't have funds, recommending them to your friends, you know, saying to them online how much you love them can do just as much good for them as well. Promote them if you love their music. They need you now.
Totally.
Thanks for listening. We will be back. I will be back in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, have a great 2 weeks, I guess.